Okay, the 10 o'clock tomorrow started 2 minutes late, so we're operating at a deficit. Tonight is Tu B'Av, which is an appropriate time to discuss Shiduchim. Tonight's topic will be, I guess, non-Shiduchim, or Psulei Kahuna, and Kahuna status. The Torah tells us in Parshas Amor that there are certain classes of women that are not permitted, or Kohen is not permitted to marry such women. Zona, Chalala, Grusha, as it is a Drabbanan to marry a Chalutza, and there's an Isser for coming to marry a Gioras. This is reflected, Lahalacha, in the citations you have in sources 1 and 2, Shulchan Aruch, Eben Ezer, Simon Vav, Sif Aleph, and number 2 is a mistake, it's Sif Ches, not Sif Tes. Machlokas Rishonim, what is the nature of the Isser Gioras Lekohen? The Rambam, which is reflected in the Psakir and Shulchan Aruch, assumes that it's an extension, a subcategory of the Isser Zona. There is Masik on the Rambam in Isirei Bia, Perigid Ches, Halacha Gimel, that is a separate din based on a pasuk in Yecheska. The very famous tshuva of the Melamed Lahovil, famous in that we don't pasken like it, and everyone else argues, but everyone always quotes this tshuva of the Melamed Lahovil, Rezavitz V. Hafman, Chela Gimel, Simen Ches. When Rav Schechter quotes this tshuva, he always points out that the tshuvas of the Melamed Lahovil were published posthumously. So whenever something's published posthumously, you never know whether the author really intended it to be publicized. So Rav Zvi Hafman there is addressing the following question. There is a Kohen who is civilly married to a non-Jewish woman who now wants to convert. Now, were she to convert, that would be a Isser Gioris LeKohen. So at first glance, that would be an untenable situation that there's no halachic basis to allow. Number one, even if she were to convert under these circumstances, presumably there would be a certain lack in her Kabbalah Samitzvos and her acceptance to live a Torah lifestyle. Minimally, if she remains married to a Kohen, that would be a violation of that Isser, and that would be subsumed under what the Gemara in Bukhara's Daf Lamed tells us is the Isser of being Megayir someone with a Kabbalah Samitzvos Chutz Midavar Echad. If someone pledges to convert and to keep 612 of the mitzvahs and not the 613, to not keep even a rabbinic precept, so that geiris is totally invalid. So minimally, this should be a problem of b'megayir chutz midaver echad. So Rav Zvi Hafman there argues that if you look at the equation, if the calculus is it better for a Kohen to be married to a non-Jewish woman or a Kohen to be married to a Gioras? He thinks that it's better for a Kohen to be married to a Gioras. That's as far as he's concerned, but if we're going to be Megayer her in a halachically unacceptable fashion, that doesn't do her any good. So maybe he argues that since she's not saying explicitly that she's not accepting the Isser of a Kohen marrying a Gioras, she's just doing that in practice. As long as there's no explicit declaration to the contrary, that wouldn't be considered a violation of chutz midaver echad. So this tshuva is not accepted lalacha, just what everyone argues on it. However, there is one application where this has come up on occasion in America. There was a shaila that was asked about 20 years ago in the following situation. There was a couple living in St. Louis, a Kohen, who was married to a non-Jewish woman who I think underwent a conservative geiris, and now they're becoming more observant. She wants to essentially become a halachic geiris, but that's an untenable situation because she's married to this Kohen, and they're not interested in separating. So the question was, they adopted a child. Are you allowed to be megayir the child under the circumstances? Generally speaking, we'll never be megayir a kid if the mother's not Jewish. But here, what's the calculation? There, generally speaking, conversion of a minor is predicated on the notion of zachin, zachin ladim shalom b'fanav. You can do something that's meritorious to a person without his knowledge. So a katan has no das himself to decide what he wants to do, but you can be megayir katan al das bezdin if bezdin makes a determination that it's to the benefit of the child. So usually we assume that it's only to the benefit of the child if he's going to grow up in an observant environment. If you're going to be a guy, you're a kid, and he's not going to grow up to be observant, so you're not doing him any favors. In this particular case, it's arguable that he's going to be growing up in a firm environment. His mother's not Jewish, so that could have nafkaminas for, let's say, Bishul Akum. But aside from that, she's going to be acting as a practicing Jew. Just she's not willing to leave the father, and she can't convert for that reason. So in this shaila was posed to the Kol Eretz Chemda. You have in the back of the Marmakomas packet the tshuva. And it was posed to Arav Bezdin, Rav Gedalia Dov Schwartz, both of whom ruled Lakula under these circumstances. You'll see there's a footnote there. Rav Zalman Nechemiah Goldberg suggested maybe, because he's not 100% sure, when the kid grows up to be bar mitzvah, then maybe he could do another geirus again, Lachumrah, just to be sure that the first geirus was good. In case not, then you'll be covered according to all bases. But we've had these kinds of situations a couple times over the years, where you have parents, you have a Kohen married civilly to a non-Jewish woman who is interested in converting. They already had a child. In one situation we had, there was a Orthodox geirus of the mother that probably wasn't done properly because she was already involved with this Kohen. Another case in which there was an Orthodox geirus done properly, questionable geirus, and then she met the Kohen. Some of these kinds of situations where the kids are growing up in an otherwise firm environment, there's what to rely on to do a geirus for the kids. We discussed last week briefly the status of the child of Eved V'Akum HaBabas Yisrael. If you have a non-Jewish father and a Jewish mother, what's the status of the child? So we discussed last week that the Machlokes Amarim, the Gemara in Yevamos and Daf Mem Hey, and we paskin that the Vlad is kosher. According to a minority opinion, maybe the kid requires a geirus. We assume the kid does not require a geirus. Akasha means he's a full-fledged Jew. Even though he's a full-fledged Jew, he or she, there's a position in the Gaonim that this kid is not allowed to marry a Kohen. So that's reflected, if you look in the Rif, Daf Tesvavim and Beis Vidapi Rif and Yevamah. So the Rif quotes such an opinion from the Gaonim that the progeny of an Eved V'Akum HaBabas Yisrael is not permitted to marry a Kohen, even though it's Vlad Kasher, but Pogum L'Kahuna. And he learns that out Kavachomer Me Almana, just like an Almana L'Kohen Gadol, which is a limited kind of Isser. It's not an Isser Shava Makol. It's only unique to Almana L'Kohen Gadol. Yet the kid is a Halal. The kid's not allowed to marry a Kohen. So here, where the union of Eved V'Akum HaBabas Yisrael, you can never marry a guy. And there, so that's an Isser Shava Makol. So then obviously the product of that marriage or that relationship should be Asura L'Kohen. So that's the position of the Gaonim quoted in the Rif in Yevamos. And then he's questions whether that's true halacha. There may be a contrary position in the Gaonim as well. So the Rif is Mesufik lahalacha. The Ramban in the Sefer Tzchus in the bottom of the Rif assumes that it's a Safik lahalacha, and practically speaking, the daughter of a non-Jewish father and a Jewish mother is going to be Asur l'Kohen. However, because it's a Safik, the din is in Nisei Slo Teitzei. If she ends up marrying a Jew against halacha, we don't force them to divorce. The kedushin is obviously tofes, and there's no requirement to make them separate. The kid, the Ramban says, will be a safek halal. And the Ramban understands this is the machlokas amarim, the Gemara in Brachoros. The Gemara in Brachoros in Daf Mem Zayin has an expression of mashimin or ein mashimin as of lie. That's in the context of Pidyon HaBen. So the Ramban understands, what does it mean mashimin as of lie? Rashi there understands Mashimin es Vlad means essentially what the Gemara in Yevamos says, Vlad Kasher or Vlad Pasul, Vlad Pogum. So the Machlokas of a Mashimin or Mashimin es Vlad is equivalent to the Machlokas in the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Mem Hey, whether the product of Eved V'Akum HaBabas Yisrael is Mamzer or Kasher. That's, you have to figure out why then the Gemara in Brachos uses a different term. If it means the same thing as the Gemara in Yevamos, so why does it say there Eim HaSimon, which is a different lashon? The Ramban answers that problem by saying, no, it's talking about something else. Eim HaSimon means this issue of is it mutter, is the daughter muteres l'kohen or not. So you think that's the machlokas amarim there, and we paskin misafek, that it would be usher. The Rosh in Yevamos Paskin Zlachumra, that the daughter of a non-Jewish father, Jewish mother, is not permitted to marry a Kohen. The Rambam, it's questionable what the Rambam holds. The Rambam is in the Sirei Biya, Peretes Vav, Halacha Gimel. The Rambam just says, Vlad Kasher. Vlad Kasher is Lashon HaGemara. So often the Rambam just quotes Lashon HaGemara, and you can't necessarily be medayik anything from there. Many of the Nosei Kelma of the Rambam assume that the Rambam means to say that it's mutter, that she's allowed to marry a Kohen. There's no indication explicitly otherwise. That's questionable what the Rambam holds. However, lehalacha, we pass in Shulchan Aruch, Evan Ezer, Simon Dalis, if you test, that Havlad Kashru, Pagam Lekahuna, that the product of such a union between a guy and a Jewish mother is Asura Lekoe. And the Beis Shmuel there writes, Asur l'korin, but the din is like we saw in the Ramban, in Nisei Slotese. If they end up getting married, you don't have to force them to divorce. So Moshe has a tshuva, Evan Ezer, Chelek Aleph, Simin, Hey. The situation that he's dealing with is a couple that's civilly married. A Kohen is civilly married to the daughter of a non-Jewish father. So maybe you would have argued that if they're already civilly married, so that's considered in Nisei Sloteisei. So practically speaking, they're living together as husband and wife, and you don't have to force them to separate. They are now interested in having a proper chuppah of the Kiddushin. So Moshe thinks that's not the case. Even though they're civilly married, even though they already have a child from their union, you can't call that, and even though that arguably could be considered a shas atzak to force them to separate, the Moshe thinks they have to separate. It's a safek and a din d'oraisa, and you have no right to be mekel. Rav Avadia, the Sfardi poskim, are generally more mekel on the shayla of Nisei Sloteisei. Rav Avadia has a number of tshuvas. I printed one of them here for you. That's Yabi Omer Chelek Zayin. Evan Ezra Simon Tess. Rav Avadia there is dealing with the following situation. There is a couple, an Iranian couple, or of Iranian origin living in Israel. They're living together without the chuppah of the Kiddushin. The mother of the girl, and she's already pregnant, so the mother of the girl claims that her father was a goy. And the guy, it's questionable whether he's a Kohen Bechlal. He came from Iran, so they called him a Kohen, but then some of the people from the community there said, no, Kohen is sometimes an honorific in the Persian community. It means that it was a respectable family. It doesn't mean they're really Kohanim, and there isn't such strong evidence that they were halachic Kohanim. So the Beis Din in Tel Aviv wanted to paskin that since, anyway, it's questionable whether the guy is a Kohen to begin with. And at least as a sniff, you can rely on the Tshuva Samar Sham. Also here on the Marmakoma, Samar Sham in Simon Reish Lamed Hey, who argues that nowadays, this is a Chiddush, but nowadays all our Kohanim are Safek Kohanim anyway, because there's no real Ksav Yichus. So since every Kohen is really a Safek Kohen, you can be mistarif that with another Safek to create a Sfek Sveka. So based on this Marsham is talking about Shaila Safek by Shvuya, so maybe you can be Messiah of the Safek that any Kohen isn't really a Kohen Vadai, together with the Safek and the situation there are Shvuya to create a Svek Sveka. So the Beis Din in Tel Aviv in this particular case wanted to say the same thing over here, that questionable whether the husband is a Kohen anyway, and maybe the mother has no nemanus to say that the father the girl's mother has no nemanus to say that the father was not Jewish. So you put all these sveikas together, you have a svek sveka, and you can allow the couple to get married. And maybe that's also considered already in Nisei Sloteisei. They're already living together as husband and wife, even if they didn't have a proper halachic kiddushin. So Rav Avadia argues lekula that you have this svek sveka, suffik whether he's a kohen, and even if he's a kohen, then maybe we paskin like those we showed him that the product of a non-Jewish father and a Jewish mother is in fact allowed to marry a kohen. Is that halal or not? So that's also not clear. The Ramban says safek halal. So that's the shayla. It's not clear lalacha whether the kids would be halal. That's an open question. Rav Avadia in subsequent shuvas, chela tesim and zayin, chela gitzim and yudalit, deals with similar situations as well. One of them is a little bit more extreme. There the couple was only, they weren't living together, they were only engaged. They were becoming more observant, they already set a wedding date. He's a Kohen. The mother was a balas tshuva, so there you have another safek. Maybe the mother is a zona, because she said that she had relationships with non-Jewish guys. Rav Avadia even tells you the name of one of the non-Jewish guys in the tshuva. And then the guy is a kohen. It's also questionable how we know. So the mother of the kohen was involved with non-Jewish guys, so maybe she's a zona and he's a halal. And the only reason that we know that the father of the girl was a guy is because of the testimony of her mother. So Rav Avadia says, anyway, if you're going to believe one mother, then believe the other mother. So either he's not a Kohen and he's a Halal and she's the product of a non-Jewish father, or in which case it's fine, or they're all kosher people. It's either all or nothing. But what you see in the story of Rav Avadia, he assumes that the fact that they're engaged is already enough to constitute a b'di'evet, and maybe you'd say, nisei slow, teisei. Rav Amar has a shuvah chelek hei, simen ches, similar situation, a couple that was about to get married, and he's a Baal Tshuva. They discover that he didn't know he's a Kohen, but they discover that there's indication of Kohen on the Matseva of the father. So he assumes that there may be some significance in that. The local rabbi says that they are Kohanim, but the fact that they're engaged, according to Rav Amar, is enough to say that's a b'di'evet situation, and he says, lo teitz, and he throws in that maybe the guy's a halal anyway because the mother went to secular universities in the 60s or 70s. Rav Amar, in a psak din in the Beit Din HaGadol a couple years later, I think 2006 it was, in a similar case, paskin that way as well. One of the lower, the local Batei Din was unwilling to allow such a couple to get married, and Rav Amar, based on similar reasoning, in the Pesach of the Beit Din HaGadol, said that the fact that they're already engaged creates a certain shas at the chag situation, and you can rely on the fact that that's already in Nisei's Lo Teitz. Rabbi Bleich has an article in Tradition, I think 2007, in which he takes issue with Rav Amar Tzak, because based on the emotion that we started with, our orientation definitely of Ashkenazi poskim is not to necessarily consider such a situation of b'di'evet of Nisei Lo Teitz. There was a situation around that same time, 2006, an American case of a Baal Tshuva with a wanted to marry the product of a Jewish father, a non-Jewish father and a Jewish mother, where they asked the shaila to Byron Lichtenstein, and Byron wrote a letter in which he is reluctant to paskin authoritatively, but at least entertains the possibility that maybe a posek could say that if they're already strongly attached and engaged or about to get engaged and they've had tried to break up and haven't broken up, so maybe there's what to rely on in calling that a shas chag situation, to go like the minority opinion of Rishonim that there's no iser l'kahuna, leaving for a later date the determination of the potential halala status of a child. Okay, how do we establish someone's status as a Kohen in 9 minutes? So the Piskei Tshuva in the beginning of Siman Vav in Evin Ezer goes a tshuva from the Chud HaMeshulash. The case that he was dealing with was a Kohen who was Muxek as a Kohen for 15 years. He got the first Aliyah. He duchened. And one day he wakes up and says, no, he's not really a Kohen. He was just fooling us because he wanted the kavod of getting the first Aliyah. And happens to be now he wants to marry a Grusha. So the Chud HaMeshulash doesn't think that that's a valid amasa. You can't wake up one day, if you have a chazaka, if everyone accepts you as a Kohen, you can't wake up one day and say you're not a Kohen without any evidence. And he's not believed to say, if he's right, so then he's been duchening all these years in violation of the Isser that his Zahar is not allowed to duchen. Questionable, Mechlok is shown maybe how severe, if there is such an Isser. But so he assumes that he has no nemanis to go back on the Muchzakas. The Ozer Poskim there quotes the Chuvas Beis Yitzchak Simon Kaf Gimel, slightly different case of a Kohen who wants to be Machzer Kushaso. And even though he was also getting Kohen Elias, he said that he wasn't really a Kohen. The reason he thinks he's a Kohen, he said he's a Kohen, is because he once bought the Kohen Elias and Simchas Torah, and he thought that made him into a Kohen. So then there happened to be other evidence. Other people said Edus that they knew the father wasn't a Kohen. So there was more room to rely on that maybe he wasn't believed. Ramosha has a tshuva, chelik dalet, Evin Ezer sim lamites. Baal tshuva is married to a non-Jewish woman. She wants to be Megayer. He has no active idea that he's a Kohen, but his father told him once that he's a Kohen. So Ramosha points out over there that even though the father said he's a Kohen, the father came from no observance whatsoever. The grandfather came to America after living under the communists in Russia in the 20s, and there's no reason to believe that anyone had any definitive knowledge that they were Kohanim, and the father has no nemanus under those circumstances to claim that he's a Kohen. There was never anything to back up that claim in terms of observance in the family. Similarly, same volume, Evin Ezer, Chela Dalas Simen Yud Aleph, a person believes himself to be a Kohen because his father told him at the Bar Mitzvah that he was a Kohen. But the father ran away from home when he was little, and he had no connection to the grandfather, and they never did anything other than that Aliyah the Bar Mitzvah to be Masik himself as a Kohen. So he thinks that's not, and there are other relatives who say that they're not Kohanim. So in that situation, the Moshe said this Kohen, or non-Kohen, is allowed to remain married to the Gioris that he was married to. Rav David Kohn is of the position, and he often is quoted as saying this, that we have a letter to this effect that he wrote, that he heard from Ramosha, a much more sweeping statement than what you see in the imprint shuvahs of Ramosha. In the imprint shuvahs, there's more nuance in terms of the details of the case, but Rav David Kohn says he has a mesorah from Ramosha that he heard from him directly, that any time a person comes from non-religious relatives where there are no Shomrei Torah mitzvos that they know of going back, even if the name is Kohen or Katz, and even Rav David Kohn's not a Kohen, even if the name is Kohen or Katz, and even if they believe themselves to be Kohanim, they should not be considered a Kohen. There's no iser of them to marry someone who's otherwise prohibited to a Kohen. Position of Arbez in generally, and I think the more accepted position is more nuanced, and it's really case by case. You have to determine where is this knowledge. A person believes that he's a Kohen. So a person shows up, and his name is Kohen, but there's absolutely no evidence anywhere that he's a Kohen, so there's no Mosak. There's no reason to believe that he's a Kohen. There are plenty of people who got the name Kohen at Ellis Island who weren't Kohanim. But if there's some more track record of Kahuna, you have indication on a Kever, you have more traditions of Kahuna practices, so then we are concerned about that. And that's a famous story that the Rav told in his 1975 drasha at the Rabbinic Alumni Convention, which was the Geirus Shir with the Hakdama about the attempts to argue for the Tavla Meis of Tandu was no longer relevant in Afghinu, etc. So he tells a story. He told a story there about the Baal Tshuva, who was engaged to be married to a Gioris, a fine Gioris, who he met after she was Megayer, and they were engaged to be married, and then he's walking through the cemetery to see his grandfather's Matseva, and he sees this funny image of hands up in the air that he had no idea what that meant. So he went and he asked around, and he said, "Oh, it means you're a Kohen." So he went to the Rav, and the Rav said, the drasha, when it was reprinted in a Light magazine, which is, I think, a Samer publication, so they exited the drasha, they printed it in the 70s, so they called the title was Surrender to the Almighty. So that was his story, that the Rav said to this couple, that's what the halacha says. Kohen is not allowed to marry Gioris, you're a Kohen. There's nothing to do but break up. You have to surrender to the Almighty. So that's so he assumed that even without any active yediyah, if he found this evidence in a cemetery, that's enough. Rav Asher Weiss, Tshuvas Minchas Asher Chelek Aleph Siman Pei, takes the same kind of approach. He points out, again, the Ramosha's Tshuvas are much more nuanced, and you have to evaluate everything on a case-by-case basis, but he doesn't subscribe to this wide notion that any time you don't have religious relatives or ancestors, that there's nothing to be concerned about in terms of kahuna. There was the celebrated case 20 years ago of a well-known American rabbi who was a Kohen and did many pidyon events, and then discovered once that he was the son of a grusha married to a Kohen, therefore a halal. So he sent out a letter that, sorry about all the pidyon events that he did, and I have to do something about it. So Rav Asher Weiss has a tshuva, I don't know if it's about the same case, because I don't think this rabbi would have asked him, but Minchas Asher Chelek Aleph Mem Ches, which I think was originally printed Ala Torah, where we don't have time to go into now, but Rav Asher has a very innovative argument for explaining why it wouldn't be necessary to return the money, and why wouldn't it be necessary to inform all the people that the pidyon event was done by a non-Kohen. The other issue that we don't have time to go into now in any detail that comes up is what's referenced here in the first Mar Malkum again, Evan Ezer Vav Sif Aleph, which is the din of Reach HaGet. Reach HaGet means that even if a get is only done l'chumrah, you don't really need the get, but a get is actually executed, so that creates an Isser Grusha l'Kohen. Machlokas Rishonim is that a din d'Oraisa, din d'Rabbanan. But even if the get wasn't necessary at first glance, that nevertheless creates an Isser Kahuna. There are Rachmanim who are of the opinion that in a situation where we determine that a get was absolutely not necessary, we executed it because of not doing sufficient research, And let's say what we discussed a few weeks earlier, if you have a civil marriage, mikra din, we assume, doesn't require get, but l'chumra, we require a get. So let's say a person was married civilly, had a get, so is she considered grusha, is a sirul kohen? So there's an unpublished Shuvah Rav Avadya, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik wrote a brief letter to this effect, arguing based on the stira in Shuvah Sarashpa's quote at the end of the Beis Yosef and Simeon Yogimla and Eben Ezer, relating to this situation. But the bottom line of Rav Avadya and Rav Aaron Soloveitchik and the position of our Beis Din is that if a get is done where it's not really necessary, so one could argue that doesn't create a Reyach HaGet, and such a woman would not be considered grusha and would be mutaris or kahuna. Similar argument could come up in the context of geiris as well. If you have a woman who undergoes a gir l'chumra, so we're not so sure about whether the original geiris was valid, and so just to be safe, we'll do another geiris. And then later we make a determination that the original geiris was in fact good and the second geiris was unnecessary. So if there is, let's say, a kid who was born in... let's say a situation where the mother had a geiris, and we're not sure whether that was a good geiris, and now the kid does a gir l'chumra. So if we determine originally that if the kid's geiris is necessary, she's a sir l'kohen. If the kid's geiris is not necessary, then she's muteris l'kohen. So if we come to a later determination that the mother's original geiris was a good geiris and the kid's geiris was unnecessary, there's one to rely on to allow the daughter to marry a kohen.